I don't know that it's really going to be a text, but perhaps it's the thing I most want you to remember. From Luke 21 and verse 28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When these things not only come to pass, but begin to come to pass. And we'll have a look at some of them. But this earth is careering, isn't it, to destruction. The things that are happening in the world fulfill the prophecies. I was reading last week that Nepal, has taken on the rainbow, which means that as a country it supports this, and its culture has never been like that. The whole thing is global. It's not just that this country is afflicted by a certain thing, or Western Europe is afflicted by a certain thing. Some places more than other, but there's the move in the whole world to do with this LGBT, and it's not the only thing, and I'm not going to go into that particularly. But the speed at which things are going down, the speed of which the planet is being destroyed. I read that they're beginning to complain now about the use of a plough turning over the earth. Think how early in the scriptures the tilling of the earth was introduced. The whole world is going upside down. Some observe it, some don't like what they see, and some, of course, are all for it. Now, in these days, what should we feel? I've introduced what I've said in those sort of terms about doom and destruction because I wanted you to see that the attitude of a Christian is not that they should be all doom and gloom. The Lord says, when you see these things beginning to come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Christians are those who are to lift up their heads. Christians are those who are not to be flattened by the things that are going on in the earth. Christians are not those who are to be always mourning about the things. They do mourn, we do mourn. We'd love to see the earth perfect. Except that we're not perfect. But we wouldn't like it to see it as bad as it now appears to be getting, and it's getting worse. When we think of the things that are happening to children, when we think of the things that are happening on a national basis, when we're thinking of riots and marches, clearly the whole thing is multiplied. We've always had marches, but not four major ones in four successive weeks. We've always had murders, but not the number we have every week in this country. And quite apart from others, the whole thing is intensifying and getting worse. But we're not to get bogged down. We're to look up. We're to look up to the Saviour coming. And the only reason we can do that is because he is in absolute control. And he has told us beforehand the sort of things, without giving away detail, either of when he's coming or of all that it will happen. But he does give us a very good picture, so that we shall be prepared in whatever part of the events we come upon us to look up to Christ, to know he's in control, and to live our lives without wilting, without giving way for the things that are right. Now, Jesus said in verse 9, there were two questions the disciples asked him. They didn't realize that they were two different questions. They asked him concerning the temple. And they said, when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things come to pass? And Jesus separates these two. He speaks of the temple and its destruction, which was going to be in AD 70. And then he speaks of the sun and the moon being rolled up. We doesn't use the expression rolled up like a scroll, but the Old Testament does. He answers two questions. Some of what he says apply to both, and some that he says apply only to one or to the other. But the first thing that he speaks of was the temple. They were saying to him, what a wonderful building it is. And the Lord says, although it was the place of his worship, and it was adorned with goodly, valuable stones and wonderful workmanship, that the day was coming in AD 70 when it would be absolutely destroyed. Not one stone will be left standing upon another. And you see there, because of sin, the Lord's attitude towards the abilities of man. This was the best architectural skill. This was the best workmanship skill who had gone into this. And because it knew not the time of Christ being among them, it would be totally destroyed. And when the end comes, the whole will be destroyed. Houses of Parliament, Kremlin, theatres, great works of architecture, libraries with all the books in them, all of it. Now, we're not to get discouraged that it's going to happen, because when we get to heaven, we'll know everything perfectly that we need to know. But we're not to get worried that it happens. We're to look up for Christ's coming is important. But we are to be aware that it will happen. And when we hear of things like that happening, then we'll not allow our faith to be destroyed or upset. And then the Lord Jesus says, take heed that ye be not deceived. Now, there are things that are going to happen in the world that are not quite there, but are going to be very difficult. That those who receive the mark of the beast, whatever that is, and it's international, it's global, shall not be allowed to purchase. So you can't purchase food. But if you receive the mark of the beast, you're not going to be accepted in heaven. So at some point, Christians are going to have to understand that either they make a stand for the things of God, in which case they might be imprisoned or they might be starved to death, or else they give way to these things, in which case they'll be proved not to be real Christians and they'll forfeit their eternal life. That's all in the book of Revelation. But the Lord Jesus is warning us that it's in his control. The very fact he can tell us about them means that he knows that it's part of the history. But we're to look up, to long for his return, long for the regeneration, as the word is, of these times. And then Jesus says in verse 9, when ye shall hear of wars. Well, I think we hear of wars, don't we? Commotions. Well, if you don't describe it as a war, I suppose you could describe the marches as commotions. When you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, you see. The attitude that Christians should take to these things. We live among them, but we're not of the world. The Lord has prayed for those who should hear the gospel, and though he's no longer in the world, we are. But we're to look to him. We're not to allow ourselves to be cast down. Be not terrified, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look to him, be excited about the fact that our redemption, we are saved, we are redeemed, but what is meant is the final translation of our bodies into their final state, the renewal of the earth and the heavens. Be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. They're built in to God's history for the world. And when these things begin to happen, the wars and commotions, the end is not by and by. It's not quite the end. But we know it's not quite the end because some of the things that are foretold have not yet happened. But they're moving fast that way. And this is why I think we should all be those who, like the tribe of old, know the signs of the times. Know the sort of things that are happening. We don't need to know all the details, but we know enough from the sketch given here by the Lord Jesus that it's in his control, that it must happen, and that we're not to get depressed. It may be that some of the ties with our humanity, will need to be loosened a bit in our ties with Christ, made greater. In other words, we must look to Christ above all things. Then he said, verse 10, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Well, that's happening, isn't it? Great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. Bib and I have stood at the top of Mount Etna, and we saw a picture this week of the whole thing aflame. Earthquakes shall be in diverse places. Well, we know there have been. And earthquakes kill by the tens of thousands very often. The great means the Lord has of visiting the earth with punishment, Jeremiah gives it and other prophets gives it, you see, are famine and pestilence and war and wild animals. And here, Jesus uses exactly the same things but substitutes earthquakes for wild animals. Great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences. Well, there have been famines during the time of COVID. There was a massive outburst of locusts, weren't there? Throughout the whole of Africa and throughout the Middle East, just at the time when they were all isolating and they couldn't earn their money and so on. And it was said, because the pestilence, COVID is not the only disease, but this was a new outbreak. And there may be more. But it's the signs. They will be there and they're under the control of God. Some of those things may take us to be with him. Some of them may not. But there will be these things. And Jesus admits there will be fearful signs. Fearful signs. Terrible signs. There shall be fearful signs. And great signs shall there be from heaven. Well, the last moment when the stars fall from heaven, when the sun ceases to give its light, when the moon fails, obviously affecting tides, they will be fearful. And one of the seas will be roaring. But I just want you to try and just get a picture of some of these things. We'll try and build it up over the next few weeks in the midweek. But it's just so that we are not afraid, so that we're not bowed down. Everybody hates the Christians. They hate the Bible because of what it teaches about all sorts of things. But we mustn't give the Bible up. But we mustn't either be dogged down. We look up because these things are preparing the way and Christ will come at a due position in life. And then he changes to some of the things to do with the time of Jerusalem and the time leading up to 70 AD. And some of those things are grim. And there's nothing in principle there that isn't true of what happens at any time of persecution. But then, if we move on to verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Stars are given for signs. We're told in Genesis 1. But what signs shall there be? I've no idea. But clearly it'll be unsettling, won't it? Signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. The whole of heaven is going to be affected in some remarkable way that we can't even imagine or think of. But we're not to be caught out when it does happen, you see? That's the important thing. And the speed at which things are going may indicate that it'll happen in our lifetime. Now, that it is true that John the Apostle said that these are the last times. That is, the times between Christ and when the Lord returns. But they are the last times, and every generation has thought it couldn't get worse than their times. And maybe we're thinking that it couldn't get worse than our times. Well, there are things still to happen, but it's going such a speed towards it that I think we need to be masters of the things that Jesus said in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Book of Revelation in its entirety, and 2 Thessalonians and 2 Peter. We need to have them at our fingertips so that we may understand. Well, not only does he say there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, but on earth, distress of nations, result of war, result of famine, result of pestilence, distress of nations. Distress is going to be the prevailing, defining condition upon earth. And if we're among those people who think, well, there can't be a God if all these things happen, we're not, according to the Bible, we're allowing our thinking to run away with us. There will be distress of nations. There will be perplexity. But we won't be perplexed. We know the Lord is in control. We know the Lord Jesus. We know we're saved. We know we're going to be taken to glory. We might not have believed, but the Lord has opened the way for us, and he's still opening the way for men and women to believe the gospel. But we mustn't do anything else than look up, else we'll go down with them. Men's hearts failing them for fear. As I've said before, I've sat so often with strong men dying. And they've ridiculed religion. Sometimes the Lord gives salvation on deathbeds. Mostly what happens is suddenly they're very afraid. But the Lord does not give it to them to repent. The time is now. Now is the day of salvation. This is our time to believe and to love the Saviour. Well, men's hearts are going to fail them. Unbelieving hearts will fail them. Fail them for fear. Now, if it were seriously to be told, let's say a 65-year-old man, that within a few hours he'll be facing God, he won't actually be judged at that time, but every single thing that he's ever said, every single thing that he's ever done, will be brought up into the presence of God. Because he hasn't believed in Christ. I think that they begin to find that fearful. It is a fearful thing. But men's hearts failing them for fear. And because they're looking, they observe, they're looking after the things which are coming on the earth. Now that's exactly where we are. We're looking, we're making observations at the things that are coming to pass on the earth. But we haven't got to the next stage. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. Again, he's repeating about the sun and moon and the stars. They'll be shaken once more. The earth shall be shaken. The shaking, even though it's in heaven, as there will be shaking on earth, according to the prophets. That must be a terrifying thing. Tremors, they're not very nice. And the bigger, the more fearful. Well, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things. Looking after means observing those things which are coming on the earth. That's how it's going to be, increasingly. And then, these are the things that immediately before the Lord's coming. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, all the time when these things are getting worse, we lift up our heads, you see. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. If we want to be able to look up the moment the Lord Jesus reappears, then we've got to be able to look up to the Lord Jesus in those years, those moments before he reappears. We're not to be bogged and down, but they are terrifying signs. Humanly speaking, we would all be terrified at the things that are coming. And then shall the unbelievers see. We shall see, but we'll rejoice, we'll lift up our eyes. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. It's not how he was on the cross. It's not how he was during his lifetime. But it's the same Saviour. And the times have been reversed. And his eternity has been, and his rulership and his creatorship has been fully made apparent. When these things, he says, begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he says, well, you know what happens in spring or in summer? Flowers begin to come. You know it's about to happen. Well, right, when you see these things, know that these things are about to happen. Heaven and earth, he says, shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Here is the one thing. The earth seems solid and stable, but it will pass away when the Lord returns, but his word will never pass away. If there's one thing we may be absolutely assured of, it's his word will not fail. His word will not change. As long as we're fixed on that word and not looking round about us at the storm, so to speak, not looking round about us at the world, we will be all right. But we do have to have it. We do have to know it. It may be wrenched from us. We may be imprisoned and have no Bible. But we need to know a lot of it in our hearts, in our memories. My words, he says, shall not pass away. So Jesus says all these things at any time, but these things of which he's just speaking in this chapter that we've read will always be relevant till he returns. They're foretold. They are going to happen. They're in God's times. It's part of his judgment on the world, like it was in the time of Noah. In some ways, it won't be as bad as the time of Noah. There'll be more than 8 people, believe me. Quite sure of that. On the other hand, there'll be many millions more people to die eventually. So it's still going to be very fearful, and fire is possibly more fearful than water. If you were given a choice, do you want to drown or do you want to be burnt to death? Which would you go for? Well, you wouldn't go for either, would you? But the fire which purges this world, purges it from sinners, purges the sins of the earth, the blood that's been shed, that would be a terrible thing. And that's what will happen when the Lord returns. Lift up your head. That was really the basis of all I wanted to say today, but I'll then give a lot of facts. We're beginning to go through these times. They're beginning to speed up to the time when the Lord will return. And we're to lift up our head. I can never get it out of my head, the words of one verse of the hymn, and the word rejoice. I always want to say, lift up your heads, rejoice. Redemption joy is not, but it's not what the actual text says here. It says, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's what we're looking forward for. That's what we want. We want to be in a new heavens and a new earth. We want to see God. We want to see Christ. We don't want to feel like we feel now. Keep our eyes upon Jesus. Trust in him. And even if they do threaten to, or do in fact put us to death, our souls will come to no harm whatever. May the Lord help us to face whatever pain or trouble or difficulty there may be because of these things, but don't flinch from them. It's what the Lord has always foretold. Look to him. Amen.